The following is a Feltnout production. To find out more, visit feltnout.co.uk.
Hello, sexy men and attractive females.
Well, don't you all look absolutely beautiful today? Your hair looks nice, your bodies look banging. Oh, have you been using body butter? Ooh. You're smooth as silk.
Yeah, they are smooth as silk. Oh, it's like velvet.
Velvet sky.
Velvet sky. Velvet sky. There's someone who hasn't been mentioned in a while.
Welcome to Over Vienna Podcast. I'm Lee Kyle.
I'm Kia Kyle.
This is our podcast about songs that didn't get a number two in the UK charts. No! Wrong.
You've already fucked
did.
This.
I was there doing so go. Well.
I know, man.
Did get a number two in the UK.
You were distracted
charts.
By the bodies.
But, like, damn your bodies. I'm distracted by bodies. Like when the Sex Pistols couldn't concentrate in the recording studio because they hadn't finished one of the.
I'd say we're the fucking Sex Pistols of our Patreon.
Let's brand ourselves as the Sex Pistols of the podcast.
Yeah, let's just be fucking outrageous all the time. Yeah, man, God doesn't exist.
Oh, sorry, a rude word.
Oh, fuck the monarchy, am I right?
Can I shock you? I am an antichrist.
I thought we were going to say you are a monarch.
I am a monarchist. That doesn't even rhyme.
It was good, though. Oh,
God bless them. It was good. And we'll be covering that song eventually. Probably
oh, we will.
When that Charles fella gets his crown.
And we should do the whole episode in their accent, in a sort of...
Ever get the feeling you've been cheated?
Yes.
God, I do like the sex. Anyway, it's not about that. This is a podcast about songs that got number two in the charts, but no higher. And we discuss whether they should have beaten the song to the top of the charts that actually, well, you know what, beat them.
Ooh.
It's about popular music. I'm Lee Kyle.
Done this bit, man. You've introduced yourself.
Yeah, but we didn't say who we are.
Well, you're Lee Kyle.
Is that it? Is that sum it all up? Google us.
Your name does not need any introduction.
I carry a little cachet.
Oh, yeah.
Give us a Google. Give us a Google if you want.
Google him, pet.
He's Kia Kyle. I don't know if there's as much him on Google because he's not as in show business as I am.
I'm just your bane.
He's just some kid I know. You know what I mean?
You won't find us on Google, but you'll find us on some of that dirty website. I use a different name for that. It's all good. It's
what
all
do
good.
You use?
Well, mate, I'm not going to say. I'm not going to search.
Plug your OnlyFans.
Oh, I haven't got an OnlyFans, but I would love one. If you'd buy me OnlyFans, can you let us know?
Because I would make us feel sad.
Why? I wouldn't tell you.
Oh, but I'd know. I'd be looking on there.
No, I would. I'd ask you to share it.
The thing is, I would as well. And then but okay. Have an OnlyFans, but can you keep it like softcore?
I wouldn't be ramming stuff in us.
That's all I ask.
That's for like a year later when people have been begging us for it and I haven't, and then my number started dwindling.
That's
like,
the problem,
oh,
isn't it?
He has a reason to come back.
With engagement these days, it always... Nah, you shouldn't have an OnlyFans, it's fine.
Why? Because I'd keep going to I
don't like to think of you as a sexual being.
Oh, but I am.
I don't like to think about it.
Oh, fine.
Anyway.
The women like to think about it. The tone. The
this isn't what this should be. This isn't what this should be, is it? But it is. So thank you. If you like this podcast, and if you don't, well, I can't win you around now.
Look, we've been trying our best.
Yeah, we just misbehave.
Yeah, we're just cheeky little scamps. Yeah.
Hello, everyone. Hello. Just naughty boys. Go to patreon.com/feltnout. Feltnout is the world's only comedian-run, community-in-rest company and cooperative. We do loads of good work for not only comedians in the Northeast, but also the community. And we've got lovely new microphones now because of the wonderful people on our Patreon, which you can join at patreon.com/feltnout, and you get loads of stuff.
Yeah, you could be one of those wonderful people.
Podcasts, videos, gig tickets, surprises.
Ooh.
Get yourself over there. And this week, we're going all the way back to the week commencing the 10th of December, 1972. And I know you're thinking
wasn't even a spunk yet.
Nah, I wasn't even a spunk in the dad. I don't know who he is.
No.
It's for the best. I don't even have to go round.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Annoying, wouldn't it? Yeah, I can't be bothered. Just occasionally getting a card, not worth it.
And I know you're thinking, but you've just done two Christmas specials. Why are you back in December? The answer is because the chart is not Christmassy. I'm beginning to think all of those, maybe 1973 was the start of, ooh, everyone's doing Christmas songs.
Yeah.
This is nothing to do with Christmas. This is to do with tunes.
Yeah, fucking rock and roll.
Which you're going to hear now. We're going to ask you, Will, Goodbye to Jane, one of Slade's many mega hits, does it deserve to top the charts, which it didn't in real life, ahead of Chuck Berry's My Ding-a-Ling, brackets, Live.
Live.
That's what it was. It was the live version that people bought. So, arguably the inventor of rock and roll versus Slade. See you after a little taste of these wonderful hits of yesteryear. So, Keir Dillon.
Hello.
Chuck Berry.
Oh, what a name. That Chuck... name rings musical greatness, doesn't it?
So, Chuck Berry, right? Chuck Berry is, it's fair to say...
Well, he's a fucking rock and roller, is what he is.
There are people who would claim that Chuck Berry invented rock and roll. Now, it's not as simple as that, right?
No.
He is called the father of rock and roll. Maybelline, some people call the first rock and roll song.
He definitely helped bring it to the masses.
And in a way, like, there's no one inventor because things don't evolve like that there. But if there is one, it's probably him.
Yeah.
That's the thing, right? Roll over Beethoven, rock and roll music, Johnny B. Goode. And these are just in the 50s, right? That's
yeah.
Picking the 50s. So what is odd is that his biggest hit in Britain was this in 1972. A live version of a song about playing with his cock.
Which, I will say, isn't one of his greats in my eyes.
No, no. What I do know at this point, it's a complicated and difficult story, Chuck Berry's, right?
He did love playing with his cock, though.
He did. And not
man.
Always in nice ways.
No, filthy Chuck. Man.
So, Chuck Berry at this point was... This gig was recorded. He didn't have a travelling band at the time. Mm. He was in money difficulties. He was a bit desperate, Chuck Berry. He ended up going to prison because he insisted on being paid in cash and just keeping all the money for himself. And at this point, he was just using travelling bands. So he would just find out which musicians were in the area. Often quite well-known ones. I think there's some quite well-known ones on this track who would just want to play with him because he's Chuck Berry.
Yeah.
And they would play. And apparently, at this point, he wasn't a very good live performer. Details are sketchy as to why this track was specifically recorded and put out, but it definitely caught on. It was at number one for a long time.
Well, I mean, the Brits loved it.
Yeah. And you can hear them joining in with some gusto on the recording, while Chuck Berry, as this point, rather than the father of rock and roll, he was playing it like an old school show business social club act, which is kind of what he was at this point, right? But while this seems like a lot of fun... And it is fun to listen to, I guess. You kind of wash over Chuck Berry, right?
Yeah.
About 10 years before this, he was sentenced to 3 years in America for transporting a 14-year-old girl over state lines for sexual reasons.
He's not a nice person. There was all the videotapes and things found when they raided his house.
Yeah.
Underage people and... a lot of women relieving themselves.
And he battered a lot of women as well, Chuck Berry.
Yeah, he did.
Yet, it's a difficult thing, isn't it? Because there's a line of going... It's such an often discussed thing, where do you separate the art from the artist? And I think, call me crazy, it's taking 14-year-old girls over state lines for sexual abuse.
Yeah.
You know? So I guess what we have to do is...
And, like, I'm more than happy to watch a Chris Benoit. Like, you know, I think Chris Benoit's a good wrestler. I don't really watch his matches anymore, you know.
Yeah,
because
it's not...
I'm more than happy to say he's good, but
because it's not fun, is it? That's the thing. You can watch these matches and Chris Benoit, and you can go, if you're a wrestling fan, you can go, oh, yeah, but he was really good, and he was really good.
Yeah.
But it's hard not to watch that and think, he killed his toddler.
Yeah,
like,
it's
at least a huge negative,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah.
And so the problem we've got here is if we then... It's such a complicated legacy because if we discuss simply on a song-by-song basis, these two songs can't compete with each other, really, because the thing about it, I guess what you're discussing is Chuck Berry's musical legacy, which is if you're just looking at blankly that, you can't go, Chuck Berry should have had a number one.
Yeah, right? Oh, definitely.
It's a shame
yeah.
that he didn't. So he had one here, but he had one here 10 years after he'd been to prison for child abuse.
Yeah. I mean, I'm still slightly iffy when it comes to Michael Jackson songs, no matter how much hush money's pushed about there. Like,
yes.
And this is a much, much worse extreme.
The Michael Jackson one's weird because their fans still come for you online if you see it.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
but yeah. It's, look, we'll discuss it quickly, but it's kind of like the whole Michael Jackson thing is people talk about, oh, no, he was just very childlike himself. He wasn't. Michael Jackson was a cynical millionaire. Like, Michael Jackson was very talented. No one, I'm not denying that, but Michael Jackson worked with the right people at all times and made incredibly sensible but also quite ruthless career choices. Like, he wasn't this naive toddler.
He knew what he was doing.
He bought the entire Beatles back catalogue from under Paul McCartney, who was a friend of his. Like, he wasn't...
Yeah.
This isn't an innocent man, you know. And it's that whole thing of, like, if you had to invent a millionaire child abuser, he's exactly what you'd come up with.
Oh,
if you were writing a fictional thing, it went, okay, so he makes himself look weird, acts childlike. And also there's recordings of him speaking in his real voice when he didn't think he was being recorded, which isn't, oh, hi, Michael Jackson. You know,
and he has the fucking world in the palm of his hand. Like, people are just so incredibly, like, amazed by him and obsessed.
And has a fairground in his garden.
Yeah, gave kids wine and golden Jesus juice.
Yeah, it's like, and it's all very good. Oh, he was never convicted of anything. But by that definition, you go, well, Jimmy Savile is guilty.
Yeah, like, there does become a point where it's very hard to be convicted when you're at that level. But yeah, anyway.
Tell you who was convicted, Chuck Berry. More than once. More than once. But did also make Johnny B. Goode and invented rock and roll, which...
Yeah, if it's good enough for Marty McFly, then...
It's like John Lennon said, if rock and roll has a name, it is Chuck Berry.
Yeah.
So you've got to hold both those two things at once to be true. You know, horrific man, made great stuff.
Yeah. Gary Glitter.
Arguably even better than Gary Glitter.
Well, hey. But Gary Glitter also did less. Not good things, but he did less. So does that balance it out?
What do you mean by did less?
Well, I mean, he still did horrific things.
Oh, I don't know if they're less Gary Glitters, I think, yeah.
Do you not think... I'd say Chuck Berry did more things, though.
Nah, I don't think that's true. I think the thing that Gary Glitter's known for, which is the found that on his computer, is what people... But he actually also... I think the thing he's in prison for now is that he went to Thailand and did some horrific things in person.
Oh, no, I imagine he would have done it in person.
But you know what, Kia? I'm going to draw a line here and go, let's not rank whose sex crimes are the worst.
Nothing. Oh, that's a bonus episode and a half.
No, it isn't. It isn't. Let's talk about Slade. Bloody love Slade.
Do bloody love Slade.
Why wouldn't you love Slade? Right?
Fucking great.
Of course, Slade have their own controversies.
We've chosen a risky time in the 70s,
haven't
we?
It's not the same with Slade. In fairness, Slade from that time seemed broadly decent men.
Yeah.
And pleasingly oddballs. And, of course, one of them very nearly died not long after this.
Oh.
And they sort of... But let's go to the controversy. So a bassist for Slade was engaged to Rose West while she was in prison. Do you know that?
No, but that's fucking brilliant.
I remember reading that and going, well, that's news that passed by. And he was sacked immediately, in fairness. And it wasn't like the bassist in the heyday.
Yeah.
It was a touring version of Slade, maybe without even Noddy in it.
Oh, God.
And it turns out he ended up writing to Rose West in prison and going to visit her and getting engaged. And he was shocked when they went, well, we can't have you in the band.
Yeah, why would they allow that?
So, but I don't
From
think...
both an image perspective and a moral perspective, it's just not.
Yeah. But in a way, Slade themselves come out of that quite well by going, nah, fuck off. Yeah,
not having
you
that.
Know? And that I think that one of the more likable bands, Slade.
Oh, the fun.
Yeah, they just seem like you would like them. Like, and obviously famously, like, really good as well. Like, they had this image to sell music, and I know the main songwriters would get annoyed at Dave Hill by going, you're making us look stupid. And he said, look, you write the songs, I'll sell them. And that's exactly what happened.
Yeah, that is good.
Like, I bet Dave Hill's a laugh to know.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't think you'd have to be a real grouch not to like Noddy Holder.
A fucking Noddy Holder. Noddy fucking Holder.
I've often looked into whether it's buyable to get one of those big hats he wore with the round mirrors.
Absolutely.
I'd really
absolutely
want one.
Absolutely. You could make that yourself. You could DIY the shit.
I have considered it. Especially when I've been doing pantomime, so I've done, occasionally I've done like alternative cool guys pantomimes.
Yeah.
The first year I was looking into making one of those hats because my look was quite glam rocking that. I had the big, the big glitter platforms. But I just think I got, time went away, you know.
Could we, and this is just a complete, you know, just spitting this idea out there. Neil Buchanan clearly likes music. I reckon we could get him as a guest on the podcast for an episode, and he could show how to Art Attack a Noddy Holder mirror hat.
But not a giant Art Attack. I don't want a Noddy Holder mirror hat the size of a football pitch, Neil.
Oh, no, mate. Come on. Come on. You don't need to be extreme. That was always stupid when you did that.
I would love a Noddy Holder hat. I'm going to guarantee this year I'm wearing a Noddy Holder hat. I don't know what's happening.
We're getting it handmade by Neil Buchanan, mate. That's what we're doing.
Yeah. You've got a strong look, right? You may not know. I mean, you can find it on the image for the podcast, but you may not know what Kia looks like. You put a lot of work in your hair. That's a credit to you. Right?
I don't know. That's the thing. This is natural, mate. You've got good hair. It's just, oh, I've got good hair. I don't get it.
You know what you haven't got? Dave Hill out of Slade in the 70s hair.
I don't. I don't have that.
Like, there's only so long you can do as much with your hair as you want, right?
Yeah.
Like, I'm not saying you're going to go bald. You may not. But you may. But yeah. Your hair quality,
it's a risk, isn't it?
Your hair quality changes through life. You've only got so many years to just... What I'm saying is, I get a Noddy hat, you get Dave Hill out of Slade hair. Like, long with no fringe. Like, you're a good-looking lad here. Can you pull off Dave Hill hair? That's the ultimate test.
If the Patreon can reach 200 consecutive subscribers before the end of the year.
If we have 200 subscribers this year, he's going to get a Dave Hill out of Slade hair. I had it once. I didn't mean to.
Just happened.
Yeah, I went to a barber's in South Shields and went, can you make me hair like this? And they were like, I don't know what you mean. I just wanted like normalish hair.
Yeah.
And I had quite long hair and it was so difficult. I just sort of went, look, can you just cut my hair to half the length it is now?
Really, really making it easy for them.
It was like, what do you mean? I don't know why I didn't leave. I went, just this, but half the size? Like, just half of this off? And he was like, we can't, that's not really how you cut it. I was like, I think it is.
You definitely
just
can't
cut
do
my hair
that.
Shorter. That's what I'm asking
right,
you.
How long is it now? 6 inches, right? Take off 3. Yeah. There we go.
Can you cut my hair shorter? I was saying. Basically, he's like, well, that's a bit complicated what you're asking for. I was like, I don't think it is. And I paid him and thanked him for what he did. And I shouldn't have, honestly. Like, I had... I had like a basin cut by this point when he'd finished,
right.
Just a jawline. I had much longer hair than, well, obviously I have now, I'm bald, but like sort of jawline hair, and just a fringe, just no fringe at all, just, and I tried to persuade myself it was all right. I was like, oh, well, actually, it's probably not that bad, this. I got home, yeah, but I just laughed in my face, and I was upset, but she was right, and I can't believe that. It was only until last year that I thought, well, why didn't I just shave my head and grow it back? It didn't even occur
so
to us.
Did you just deal with it?
Yeah, I just lived with it. I had a wrestling match. I was getting filmed that weekend.
Can we find that match?
I hope not. I don't know where it was. I doubt it. But it definitely got filmed and it'll be out this. And I won as well. Like, oh, it was good. In my hometown as well. I was just at the Neon in South Shields with my hair like that.
Oh, the fucking Neon as well.
What I'd have done now, I'd have either shaved it, I'd have styled it out and I'd have went full on Slade.
Yeah.
But I didn't think of that in those days. And it wasn't as easy to buy stuff because, you know, we had the internet, but it wasn't the same.
Oh, no.
But looking back, that's what I would have done. I'd have went, right, I'm going to have to get glitter clothes. That's no fucking other option.
That would have been a strong wrestling look as well, like a proper 70s glam sort of.
Yeah. Looking back, I wish I'd done that. But what I did is just looked like shit. That's the problem. So, Goodbye to Gin, number two in the charts, remained in the charts for 13 weeks. 13 weeks, right?
For it not being one of the bigger songs as well, it's not...
No, it's not one you automatically go to, and it's so close. I think if it got number one, it probably would
yeah.
be. I don't love it as much as, like, Come On, Feel the Noise. I'm like, we're
no,
all crazy now.
No.
I know that it was written very quickly. Mm. It was originally called Hello to Jane, but Noddy Holder was a bit like, that sounds really weak. So
yeah.
They changed it. It was about a lass they just met on their travels in America who was a hippie who would do just unusual things. But I think, yes, the character was based on a real-life woman who demonstrated a sex machine on an American TV show on which they appeared. And when they recorded the song, right, the recording you hear was the second ever take of that song.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so obviously just went, let's bash this out. And I think
that explains why it's probably not a standout as yours. Like, it's a good song, but it doesn't, like, capture you in like the other ones, does it?
It's an odd thing in that I think some people love it. I think a lot of people think of it as their best song comfortably. I don't think the band do. I remember hearing one of the band going, oh, I'm not really in, I didn't really like that one. And I wonder if that's because they just did it quickly and sort of didn't think about it.
Yeah.
You know, they're just like, yeah, it's good backing chain.
It's a good song. It is a good song.
Yeah, it's definitely, I don't think there's any doubt that it's a better song than My Ding-a-ling, right? But that doesn't necessarily mean it's a better number one.
I mean, I only really know My Ding-a-ling from Simpsons fame. So it's not one that stood the test of time, I wouldn't say.
So there's an interview here with... who's the interview with? Sorry. The interview with Jim Lee, the bassist, who I think was one of the songwriters. And it's talking about... This is in 1980, saying... I didn't even like some of the old ones. We all hated Goodbye to Jane when it was made. It was knocked up in half an hour at the end of one of our studio sessions. Which is, whereas the drummer, Don Powell, said it was one of his favourite Slade songs. And I wonder if that's the difference between a drummer and a bassist.
Yeah.
Where the drummer's like, it's fucking, belted it and we're done.
Fucking smashing it out.
I hit the drum, we're done. It's odd then that they would record something in half an hour and then put it out as a single if they weren't sure about it.
Maybe they just heard good things from people in the record company and stuff, and they're like pushed for it, and they're like, "No, this is gonna do well."
Yeah, and it did do well, but I wonder if this is at the time. So this is in terms of their chronology of the singles. This was released in between "Mama, We're All Crazy Now" and "Come On, Feel the Noise," and as a run of three singles,
you know what?
That's fucking extraordinary, isn't it?
That is a good sort of middle ground, isn't it? Like it doesn't, you know, obviously it's not like you don't want to start and end with it, but it's a nice little, not just filler song, it's a nice middle ground to keep,
yeah,
the,
it's a
keep
good
the energy going.
It's
keep
good enough going. As a single that if it got a number one, you'd go, yeah, fair enough. And yeah. Like I said, it's a better song than My Ding-a-ling. That's not debatable, really. But that doesn't necessarily mean it's better number one, because number ones are about more than that. They're about like capturing something in the public.
And the British public does love tongue-in-cheek rude things, which I guess is why My Ding-a-ling probably did so well.
Yeah, and like what we've talked about in the past is there's something nice that the charts then would be like, oh, and here's something the old people bought.
Yeah.
Like, you wouldn't want to listen to it. If you come and talk to the pops, you'd be like, fuck's sake.
Oh,
but
yeah.
There's something nice about it being in there. And as a little fact...
It does show that it's, you know, more up to the public's choice than nowadays, where it's very, like, pushed by the industry, yeah. And, like, it's, you know...
Yeah,
it's all
like
sort of curated
the
and
the public
sort of
have
thing.
Liked it. And yeah. Slade wouldn't, it's a cliche, but Slade wouldn't exist now.
No.
Like, they wouldn't go, oh, they're ugly as fuck. Yeah, let's get definitely. Them on telly.
It's a lot harder now to get something into the top 40 than it was back then.
Yeah. Can I say, interesting fact?
I do love an interesting fact.
Slade were actually at the recording of My Ding-a-ling live.
That is a good fact.
They're not playing
that
the
is
same
a
gig.
Good fact. Yeah. I told people at work a good fact today, and I told one of my co-workers, and she went, oh, that's a shit fact. And I was really annoyed by it, so I went and told other people, and they all thought it was great. So I'm going to tell you, and we'll see what you think. You probably know that you might have seen, what country does France share its longest border with?
Brazil.
Brazil, yeah. Good fact,
isn't it?
Good
fact.
It's a good fucking fact. Which was, oh, no, it's not great. It's a fucking great fact.
They might not even know where Brazil is. They might be stupid. That's the thing. You're assuming people know the world.
No, I explained it. Like, you know how France classed their overseas territories as actual French land, whereas... Britain and a lot of other countries class their overseas territories as just, you know, territories. That's all it is. They're like, still their own thing, which just makes the facts better because it's how France differ in that regard. But no, she wasn't fucking having it. So.
She's a fucking ordinary
prick.
Bastard.
Prick.
You're better than her, mate. You know what I mean?
I am.
Have some interest in the world, Susan. So let's go to the charts. Now, My Ding-a-ling has had a long reign at number one. It remains number one after this. At number one, number two, and we are the week commencing 10th of December 1972, is Slade. Number three, the finest moment of the Osmonds, Crazy Horses.
Nice.
Probably one of the few songs, there's another one, but one of the few songs we go, all right, that is actually a good song.
Yeah.
Crazy Horses, wow. At number four.
It is a good song, I do like
it
that.
It's good. Solid Gold, Easy Action by T-Rex.
Fucking love a bit of T-Rex.
Your grandmother, of course, at this point would have been going to see T-Rex.
Yeah,
she was a big
fan.
So, Audrey, when you say that it's not your fault that you're racist because you're old, you're not old enough, mate. You know what I mean? That's after Martin Luther King. Sort your sellout.
Good point, good point.
Number five, Long-Haired Lover from Liverpool by Little Jimmy Osmond.
Oh, fuck off.
Not from Liverpool, but seems a really nice man.
I hear that song so
I've just much. Remembered I lied to your mother, to your nana, a year ago by saying little Jimmy Osmond was in South Shields,
yes,
and she went looking for him.
I remember that. He was down by the fair.
Yeah, he's down by the fair signing autographs. She went looking for him.
Just needless. Needless lie.
And number six, Why by Donny Osmond. So I've got to say, Osmond's at that pomp at this point. They're selling they are shifting units. Number seven, Crocodile Rock by Elton John. Can I shock you? Don't get Elton John.
I think he's got some alright
songs.
Just
his voice, man.
I don't class him as one of the great. A lot of people are like, oh, no, he's fucking got loads of amazing.
Nah,
he's got some alright ones. Not bad, not bad. Strong image, I'll give him that.
It's what I should have went with for me wrestling.
It is.
Seven, Ben by Michael Jackson. A ballad about...
No, it's pronounced bad, mate.
I can't top that. Nine, Angel by Rod Stewart. One of Rod Stewart's many, many hits that nobody thinks about anymore. Roy C. with Shotgun Wedding, which I don't know if I'm familiar with at number 10. Let's go down the charts, just picking out the odd one, because as we go this far back in time, a lot of these songs would be familiar if we heard them, but hey, we don't necessarily know all of these, so, which is the case of every year. Rock Me Baby by David Cassidy at number 13. Very much the blur to Donny Osmond's Oasis. There. Nights in White Satin by the Moody Blues at number 15. Happy Christmas, War is Over by John and Yoko and the Plastic Ono Band with the Harlem Community Choir.
He has a thing talking about John and Yoko on the same episode as Chuck Berry. Have you seen the video of John Lennon playing with Chuck Berry and they're performing? And Yoko takes the mic. And you know Yoko likes to just scream.
Mm. Yeah, I've seen
and
that.
And just Chuck's face is like, what the fuck are you doing? Yeah. And eventually they cut her mic off while she's just still standing there screaming.
Oh, bless him that he tried for that.
Oh, I know.
Oh, classic social club hit. The sort of thing that you hear a turn do, never fails. Number 17, Jeff Beck's High Horse Silver Lining.
Oh, yeah, classic.
We have two classics at the next. Classic bands, not necessarily their greatest hits, with the Four Tops and then Gladys Knight.
The Four Tops, obviously known for the Grease 2 soundtrack.
They're not. We've talked about this before. Not only that. 20, Little Drummer Boy, the most haunting of the Christmas songs, at number 20.
I hate that one.
It's it freaks me out because of the connotations with the Hindley murders. If people don't know about that, don't Google it.
But I'd like to hear about it.
I'll briefly tell you. So one of the little lasses that they killed, sadly, they recorded the murder and that song was playing in the background.
Oh, lovely.
And they used to play that to the police to check whether they could handle being in the police, but they had to stop because too many people were having breakdowns. Let's move on.
I might check that out.
You're not listening to
There's it. There's a fun bonus episode.
No. Oh. 21, Leader of the Pack, the Shangri-Las. Yesterday I was wearing my Shangri-Las t-shirt.
You wear that a lot. Yeah, it's your look.
One of my favourite bands, the Shangri-Las. I think they're great. I'm going to say the first punk group, even though they don't sound like it.
I mean, B-52s didn't sound very punk, but they're still very punk, aren't they?
Gilbert O'Sullivan with Clay at 22. Mouldy Old Door by Lieutenant Pigeon. Have you ever heard that?
I don't think I have.
It was a number one hit, and it was one of them great British novelty things where you go, what the fuck is that? It was just people whacking on a piano and being ugly, and it's good. It was mostly instrumental, and then they would just go, Mouldy Old Door.
More terrifying than the Hindley's tape fucking.
Or Carol by Neil Sedaka at 25. Wings, the band the Beatles could have been in at 27.
Oh, bloody Wings.
Loop De Love by Shag at 29. I don't know what that is, but I do want to know. Ken Dodds at number 30. Gene Genie by Bowie at 31.
Good one.
Judge Dredd in at 32. And we've got a bit of credibility around this area of the charts. Elvis Presley is always on our mind at number 33. Wizard in at number 34 with Ballpark Incident.
No, Wizard and Slade, two pioneers of the glam rock Christmas era.
Wizard, very much the hippies of the glam rock scene,
oh,
I think.
Oh, yeah, massively.
Oh, and the closest, our local sort of glam rock, pub rock band in at number 35 is Geordie with Don't Do That with a pre-ACDC Brian Johnson.
Nice. I know... someone at work whose mum was engaged to Brian Johnson when he was in before he joined Geordie and stuff. But so then his daughter came into a shop like years later and Em was talking to this woman, and she got talking about how the last that came in, like, his daughter was saying how she was going to America to see her dad, Brian Johnson. She was like, you know what? My mum used to be engaged to Brian Johnson for a bit. And she was like, what was your mum's name? And she told her. And turns out, like, yeah, he's very much a lover of his past and stuff. He has a lot of pictures. He's a very sentimental person. And she didn't know who she was by it. So then she went back. She was speaking to her dad about this woman's mom, came back in the shop and was like, oh, you know, I told me Dan, like, you know, you'd love to, like, give you a call and see how she's doing stuff. Unfortunately, she passed away.
Oh, no. But,
yeah, so he did call and they did have, like, a long talk about her mom and stuff. So yeah, he seems like a nice guy. He does seem like a very nice
guy. Good on you, Brian Johnson. I hope you weren't just looking for a fucking rekindling shag and break up someone's family.
I think he's doing all right for shags like his.
He never stops Brian, though, even though he's 70-odd.
Go on, Brian.
Cat Stevens is in that number 36 with Can't Keep It In. And, oh, at number 39, Carly Simon, You're So Vain. You probably think this song's... I remember when I first heard that as a song, I was like, that's the cleverest thing I've ever heard. You know, as a kid, because, like, it is, isn't it? It is, but
I don't know if I know it.
Yeah, You're So Vain. You probably think this song's about...
Yes.
And that's...
Yes,
I was like, fuck it. Because it is, but he will think it is, yeah, and no, it is.
It's all right, like, it's all right.
And she's always said she'll never reveal who it's about until our deathbed, which I quite like.
Oh, God, I hope she pops soon, then.
How about Carly? We want to know, man. So that's your top 40. A good top 40, I will say. People don't think of 72 as one of the great pop years, but there's a lot of good stuff in there. And now, it's decision time, Kia.
Come on.
Now, my ding-a-ling was at number one for a long time. A number of weeks.
I forgot what songs this was even about.
So, what you have to ask yourself is, not only should Goodbye to Jane have been at number one, but does Goodbye to Jane seem like the song that wasn't at number one for a long time? I don't know if it does. But also, are we just buying time here? Is this just an obvious result?
I mean, I know what I'm going for. I think you know what you're going for.
Slade, innit?
It's fucking Slade. It's obviously Slade.
Now, Chuck Berry, if you'd not done all those horrific things, first off, that would have been better. But secondly, I might have went with you, Chuck Berry, just as a sort of pick to go, look, you deserved it for other songs. Have a little cherry off the tree.
If the British public had caught on to another one of his songs, then fair enough, but... It's just a bit weak, isn't it? It's just a bit weak.
Yeah, and I quite like that there's just a live recording that people had a laugh with and went, oh, I'm buying that.
Yeah.
But
I think it makes it work, like, with Johnny B. Goode and, you know, his other hits, it's a lot easier to not think about his horrible perverted side, but when he's legitimately
talking about just people playing with his cock, isn't he? His fettered, child-molesting cock.
Yeah. And it's like, for me, Gary Glitter, it's a lot easier to not think about his horrible act. Unless it's leader of the gang, where you're a bit like,
do you want to touch me there? And
you're yeah.
So, Slade, you've got another number one hit, lads. Well done. What a run of single.
Go on.
Chuck Berry, thank you for inventing rock and roll, but fuck off, Chuck Berry. Fuck off. Go up to our Patreon. We don't even know what we're going to talk about, but I've got a phone call in about 7 minutes. So if you go to patreon.com/feltnout or something. That's it, innit? Patreon.co.uk. I can't even remember. Try them both. /feltnout.
.com. I can see it written on the wall.
Patreon.com/feltnout. We're going to do a little quick bonus episode, but I don't know what it'll be about.
We might just leave the recording on while you have a phone call.
With the radio. Not bragging, but sort of person who gets phoned by radio in Newcastle.
I hope it's about this podcast.
It isn't.
Oh. Leaving us in the mud, mate.
The following is a Feltnout production. To find out more, visit feltnout.co.uk.